The LA Clippers were able to make it two in a row on Wednesday night by defeating the Toronto Raptors in what was probably their best defensive performance in quite some time. What were the keys and what does it tell us about the team? Have we been being a little bit harsh on certain individuals and maybe Ty Lue? Gonna be talking about that and what worked so well for the Clippers on today's Locked On Clippers.
Locked On Clippers. Your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yes, sir. You are locking in with the Clips. Thank you for making Locked On Clippers the first listen of your day, your team every day. I'm your host, Darian Vaziri, in my 18th season as a Clipper fan. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod. And of course, subscribe to my own YouTube channel, Dime Dropper, where a video of my experience at the Toronto Raptors LA Clippers game on Wednesday night will be on my YouTube channel. And remember, Locked On Clippers is free and available on all your podcasting platforms, including YouTube, where I want you to comment, what do you think was the key to the Clippers' defense being so much better in this game? Now, I want to preface that even though the Toronto Raptors are playing good basketball, they had won 9 out of their last 13 games heading into this game, they are not the best offensive team in the league. In particular, their half-court offense is very stagnant. It's a lot of isolation, and Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, Scottie Barnes are relied on a lot to create shots. But that doesn't matter. They're still a good team, a team that made the playoffs last year, a team that's in the play-in spots right now in the Eastern Conference and playing good basketball. And the Clippers needed to come out and set a tone. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about why I think the Clippers' defense was so much better in this game than basically the last 2 months of games or something. And that's an exaggeration, obviously, but it was their best defensive game in quite some time. Definitely the best defensive game they've had since Russ was signed. But what I want to talk about is something that I really kind of found out about the team in this performance. And then I'm going to talk about what I think worked really well in the second half as the Clippers steadily built their lead and pulled away before a late scare from Toronto. But I thought, from the jump, and by the way, based off the last episode, I talked about Marcus Morris. He's not going to be taken out of the starting lineup from everything I know. And again, it was the same starting lineup. And it was the 9-man rotation that, not the one I suggested, but basically the same 9-man rotation. No Robert Covington, no Bones Highland. We basically got a good stagger of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I think there were only 2 minutes in the first half or so where they were both out together. But what I noticed immediately was that the Clipper defense, just from an effort standpoint, was night and day. Now, I know Toronto's not the best offensive team, but I've heard from a good source that Ty Lue, and he's been saying it a lot lately, his quotes in the last couple of days have been, "I'm tired of the defense. We need to be better defensively. We need to all lock in. We need to have a defensive mindset." And to that, I kind of laugh and think to myself, well, you're the one that hasn't been playing defensive-minded lineups all season long with your three-guard lineups, with your small-ball lineups with no center out there, various things, Terrence Mann, less than Marcus Morris, all that. But you really can see what he was saying when you saw the difference in two particular things, in my opinion, for the Clippers in this game. Their effort fighting over screens and the sharpness of their rotations. So let me go for that first thing. Now, it started in the first quarter, but the Clippers turned the ball over, I believe, 7 times in the first quarter, and that's why they were down 25-17. And what I think is incredible about this game is that the Clippers turned the ball over 17 times, the Raptors only 12, and the Raptors shot 25 more shots than the Clippers. 25 more shots. Now, the Clippers shot 17 more free throws, but 25 more shots, and mainly because of the 17 turnovers, the Clippers still winning the game is a testament to how much better their defense was. Now, the Raptors only shot 38.5% from the field. They actually shot 40.6% from three, and they're not a good three-point shooting team in the slightest, so that was kind of worrying me. Inside the arc, though, they were missing bunnies, they were missing floaters, but one thing I got to say about the Clippers as well, besides the two things defensively that I just said they did well by fighting over screens and rotating better, they were contesting shots. You know, one of the things I always tell kids when I coach them at the youth level is, no matter where you are, when a shot goes up, just get a hand up to the get a hand up. If you are the closest person to the shooter, get a hand up. Always have a hand up. Hand down, man down. And the Clippers were doing a great job of using their hands to not only contest shots, but to get steals and create turnovers. So I wasn't actually worried after the first quarter, even though the Clippers were only down eight. It was not a good first quarter for Russell Westbrook, but it was a matter of time before the Clippers just started making shots. And in the second quarter, we got a spark. Eric Gordon, Terrence Mann, Nico Batum, and Mason Plumlee, but in particular those three guys, Nico, Terrence, and Eric, their defense was just awesome. They were fighting over screens. Their rotations were sharp. They were getting into loose balls. And Nico Batum, you know, his stat line will absolutely not tell the story tonight. He only played 15 minutes and only scored 2 points, had six rebounds, only shot 1 3, and that was his only shot of the game. But just his length when he's fighting over screens, I mean, it takes away a lot of passing windows, and it takes away certain shots coming over those screens. He's in your rear view at all times, and it's very noticeable. And the Clippers outscored the Raptors 32-24 in the second. It was a much better second shift from Russ. Paul George started to get going a little bit, but mainly Kawhi was the standout in the first half. 17 points, even going up against a lot of size and good wing defenders in OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam. I thought Kawhi was extremely aggressive, and I thought that the entire team, after that first stint, Russ, Kawhi, and Paul George made a concerted effort to get to the rim. And it's funny, they were asked about it after the game, and Kawhi was asked why to get to the rim more, and Ty Lue said, or he said, Ty Lue just told me to, which is ridiculous. I mean, he shouldn't have to tell you that, but I'm happy he did. And for Ty Lue to emphasize defense so much, whether he didn't change the starting lineup or not, for him to actually, you know, get after it at practice, from what I heard, and emphasize it a lot and really kind of discipline the players in that way, well, we saw a response. We saw Russell Westbrook fighting over screens. We saw Paul George have his second straight good defensive game. I called out Paul George. I said, we're not talking about his defense. Well, the last two games, he's been great. He and Kawhi Leonard's rotations have just been so sharp, and that's allowing Mason Plumlee, and in particular Ivica Zubac, who's better in drop coverage defensively than Plumlee, but it's allowing him to step up and not be worried about his man rolling to the basket, because he knows that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Marcus Morris and Eric Gordon, everybody is sharper on that rotation. And here's the thing about that rotation. When it's Kawhi Leonard, Terrence Mann, or Paul George rotating onto you, and you're catching the ball, and you're catching it, and you're turning your head, and all of a sudden you're seeing Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Terrence Mann chest-to-chest with you, well, you better take care of the ball or be ready to go up quickly. Because when you get foolish with the ball or take an extra second to pass, the length of those guys will make that pass much harder. And what we're starting to see is Kawhi Leonard's hands be so active and steal the ball on those passes, on those rotations. So Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, they set a tone as the stars, and it's not guarding the ball. It's not guarding the best player. It's just doing their jobs as off-ball defenders better. And you know what? If it's a Zubac, doesn't even need, and Mason Plumlee as well, they don't have to play two guys at once when guys are fighting over screens. And Eric Gordon, Russell Westbrook, and even Marcus Morris was not a defensive liability tonight. Was he the weak link? Yes, he was. But he was able to guard Pascal Siakam one-on-one and got some stops, got some good contests in there. And look, a lot of it was the Raptors not making shots, but you as a basketball team have to do your damnedest to get a hand up, make life tough for them, and that's what the Clippers did. And you saw in the third quarter, they had their best quarter of the game, outscoring the Raptors 34-25, and it was halftime. It was tied. Kawhi Leonard had 17 of the 49 Clipper points. But in the third quarter, Paul George had 10 points. You saw better pace from Russ. He was moving the ball well, rebounding. He was up to 7 assists. It looked like he was on double-double watch. But then Ty Lue pulled him and didn't really put him back in. And I loved Russ's attitude. I kept my eye on him on the bench. He was in really good spirits, cheering for every Terrence Mann basket. And Terrence Mann absolutely propelled the Clippers to run away with the game. Or not run away with it, but give them a double-digit lead. We were up by as many as 15. And the way he was just able to get onto every loose ball was amazing. He got scored on once by Siakam in the post in the first half, but after that, he held his own, caused a couple of turnovers, his rotations were good, his rebounding was good, and in transition, he pushed the ball, he finished a lob, and one thing I gotta say about the Clippers, this game, I think, had to be a season high for the team in dunks, and that showed the emphasis was to get to the rim and put rim pressure on the Raptors, and I will say, just being objective, in my opinion, and we don't say this much as Clipper fans, we had a favorable whistle tonight, in my opinion. And Fred VanVleet has had a clip that's gone viral already talking about the officials. But let me just say this. 31 free throw attempts is not a coincidence for the Clippers. They made an effort to get to the rim more. Kawhi Leonard, I believe, had like 4 dunks in the game, including an absolute poster of Jakob Poeltl. The third time I've seen Kawhi Leonard poster someone like that live, with the first two being the Maxi Kleba dunk and the Derek Favors dunk in the 2021 playoff run. But wow, to have a Kawhi poster, you know, coming off this ACL tear, just shows how he's feeling right now. And Paul George did a great job getting to the rim, but ultimately it was the defense, the attention to detail, the pride getting over screens, and the better rotations. And you know what the moral of the story is, guys? And it applies to me too. We're being a little too harsh on Ty Lue and Marcus Morris. The reason why I say that is, even with Ty Lue and Marcus Morris, and yes, they haven't been perfect, and yes, Marcus Morris just hasn't been good, and a big reason the Clippers started playing better is because Marcus went to the bench. I'm not going to deny that. But it just shows that we are oftentimes soft on the two players that set an entirely different tone when they're sharp defensively. And as a team, not just Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, as a team, when we're more focused, you can see the effort difference. It's really that. And it makes you more mad that they weren't doing it earlier. But coming up, going to be going more in depth about the second, third, and fourth quarters, how the Clippers started to pull away, and what made it get a little bit sketchy at the end. Going to be talking about the good stuff coming up. But before we do that, I got to tell you about Nissan's most electric player of the week. And right now, I'm going with Kawhi Leonard, because the Clippers have won 2 straight games, and I think Kawhi has been phenomenal in both. So the new 2023 Nissan Ariya is electric, brilliantly fierce, stunningly powerful, elegantly powerful, and Kawhi Leonard is all of the above as well. And the thing about the Nissan Ariya is it delivers on duality. It's a combination of fierceness and elegance, beautiful, but also strong. It's like an SUV crossover, kind of like a little Bones Highland crossover, but we didn't see busy tonight or on Wednesday night, sadly. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pin-to-your-seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV. The all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com. All right, the Clippers make it 2 in a row. You've got to be thinking to yourself, this guy sounds way happier. Of course I'm way happier. And let me just say this. This does not change my opinion that I have given up championship expectations. Now, that does not mean that you should, or championship hope. If you think this team can still win a championship, by all means, do it or believe it. I want to continue doing this because ever since I did, we've had 3 games. One of them was a bad 1-point loss in Sacramento, but the other 2 we've won. And I've been pretty happy because I've expected absolutely nothing. And that's because even though the Clippers moved up to the 6th seed with this win, needed it with Dallas losing, and then Luka went down with an injury, and then Kevin Durant slipped. I hope the best for those guys. I want them to get well soon. But as far as injuries are concerned, I have no sympathy for teams missing players. I mean, as a Clipper fan, we've been dealing with it for 4 years with these guys. So we got to take every win we can get, and we got to stop worrying about other teams. Just got to look ahead. The next game is New York, and that won't be easy at all. But winning two in a row is big, and for everybody that was saying that was not a good win versus Memphis, there is no such thing as a bad win, because I don't think you see that kind of defensive effort, that kind of increase in confidence for certain guys, like an Eric Gordon, like a Paul George, without that game. I think sometimes you just need a win to get a streak going, and that's what we're seeing right now. But in the third quarter, you know, when Marcus Morris went to the bench, you saw Terrence Mann, Eric Gordon, they came in and made a difference. I mean, the way they were getting over screens and the way they were rotating was just fantastic. But the dunks, as I said, you know, to continue with what I was saying, Zubats, Kawhi, Paul George, Terrence Mann. I don't know if it was a team goal or something, but another reason why is because the Raptors made an effort to run the Clippers off the line. I kept looking at the three-point attempts throughout the game for the Clippers. We only shot 23s in the game. That's a low number for a team like us. And partially that's because a lot of free throws, a lot of emphasis on getting to the rim, but also because I think the Raptors were running us off the line, and I thought we were doing a good job taking advantage. Even though we only shot 30% from three, 55% from the field. And Paul George was really starting to get aggressive, and the one thing I loved was when we went up by 15, it was defense, active hands, leading into offense. And that's the way you play championship basketball. The 60s Celtics laid out the first blueprint in the NBA of what consistent championship basketball looks like. And the way they did it was by fast breaking off of great defense anchored by Bill Russell. So that, and the Golden State Warriors, you fast forward 50 years in a completely different game with a three-point shot and all that, the Warriors made an emphasis on having a switch everything scheme, and they took pride in staying in front of the ball. They missed, or they would take advantage of misses by pushing the pace with guys, a bunch of guys that can handle the ball and pull up from 30 feet out, and you would just have to scramble in transition. It was too hard. Point being, at every level, good defense translates into good offense. You step up, you get lucky. Yeah, the Raptors miss some shots. Doesn't matter. We're not here to have sympathy for any teams. We got to go out and get the job done. And Kawhi Leonard and Paul George absolutely led that charge. But in my opinion, you know, there was a stat that was posted that Terrence Mann, when he plays the entire fourth quarter of games this season, the Clippers are now 5-1. That's counting this game. And Terrence Mann did it again, and you saw the difference. Now, at the end, the Raptors just kind of tightened up the defensive pressure. I think the Clippers got a little nervous. OG Anunoby made a tough contested three with Kawhi closing out. And here's the thing. You might think that's an open shot, but when Kawhi Leonard's long arms or Nico Batum's long arms are closing out on you, I mean, it's not as open as you might think. But overall, the lob from Paul George to Ivica Zubac was the one that sealed the game. And I got to give a shout out to Big Zoo, because we have missed him dearly. 27 minutes played for him in this game. I thought, especially in the second half, he was even better. Finishing plays, you can see his hands are a lot better than Mason Plumlee. I mean, we've had problems with Zoo's hands, but Mason Plumlee, it was like he put Vaseline on his hands before the game. It was crazy, some of the passes he was dropping. And it's been a consistent theme, honestly, with Mason so far since he's been a Clipper. So maybe that's just the thing. He has bad hands. But if it's a Zubac, his rim protection, the shots he's altering. You know, there was one play early in the game where I think it was a putback dunk attempt, and Zoo came out of nowhere to block it. It was an amazing play. And I also thought when he was asked to switch out or asked to step up beyond the foul line, he did a great job of contesting shots and putting a hand up on whoever was guarding him. And also attacking the basket strong on those rolls. Not only did he make a couple of push shots, but he was really trying to dunk and had some ferocious dunks. Ivica Zubac, 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks on 7-for-8 shooting, and in 27 minutes of play, he was stellar, in my opinion. And Mason Plumlee only played 16 minutes, but I thought he was solid in his role overall. 8 points, 5 rebounds, on 2-for-3 shooting, 4-for-6 from the foul line, and he was +8. Now, I think the +8 has more to do with who he was surrounded by, but overall, Mason Plumlee, for what you want as a backup center, he does his job. He's not the rim protector Zoo is, but he still finishes around the rim. He sets decent screens, and by the way, if it's a Zubats, I had a great seat in this game. He was setting such good screens. There was one play where he set a second screen as Paul George was curling to his right, and it basically shielded Paul's defender and got him a wide open layup. It's those little things that you got to pay attention to with Zoo. But Mason Plumlee, solid as well in his role. As for the other bench guys, I already talked about Nico, but Eric Gordon, really solid game. So this is the way it's gone for EJ. He started out with two really good games when he first came back. Then Russ came, he had four bad ones, and then three straight really good performances from EJ. I thought he was so active defensively, and his spacing we already know about, but he was knocking down some shots. 9 points, three rebounds, two assists, one steal, one block, 3 for 7 from the field, 2 for 6 from deep. Isn't great, but it's his threat that also does good things, and the defense doesn't show up on that stat sheet besides the steal and the block, and he was good, taking individual challenges very well. 3 for 7 for EJ in 27 minutes, and then Terrence Mann, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, couple of dunks, a beautiful lob, active on the offensive glass, coming up with loose balls, so many things that just don't go in your box score. 6 for 7 from the field, only shot 1 3 and missed it, 2 for 3 from the line in 29 minutes. He's our man, he's the man for the big occasion, and he made a positive impact. Marcus Morris, 4 points on 2 for 5 shooting in 23 minutes. It's nice to see that he played less than Eric, less than Terrence. I would like him playing less than Nico, but it is what it is. At least he wasn't a defensive liability tonight. His plus minus was a dead flat 0, so he was okay, he was neutral. As for Russ, I thought after that first stint where he was left open and missed 2 threes, and again, I'm not a fan of him taking those threes unless they're at the end of the shot clock, and one of them was, but Russ, after that, I thought was great. I thought he moved the ball quickly. He still always finds the open man, albeit it'll come with some turnovers here and there, but Russ, 3 turnovers tonight. That was less than Paul George. That was less than Kawhi. He took care of the ball a little bit better. But what I really loved about Russ was his activity defensively, his ability to get rebounds. He got only 2 of them in this game, but 7 assists. But he comes up with loose balls. That's one thing I like about him. And my favorite thing about him was he was used as a screener, and he is showing more willingness to be a screener. And when Terrence Mann and Russell Westbrook set screens for Kawhi and Paul George, that short roll action ends up getting the Clippers a lot of good looks, and I really like Russ there, and I like what I'm seeing about it. Russell Westbrook gets his second straight win as a Clipper. That's 7 points, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was a game high plus 12, which is obviously not, in my opinion, accurate in terms of him being the best player in the game, but you love to see that he had a positive impact on the floor. He only shot 6 times, made half of those shots. 3 of them were threes, and he only made 1. So again, from 2, he was 2 for 3. Again, I want to see him limit those threes. He did make 1 of them, though, in the second half. But coming up, going to talk about the Stars just a bit more and then look forward to the New York game. But before that, if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat healthier and get more protein in. And to do that, sometimes I get a Built Bar, even though they still haven't sent me more, and I'm really, really hungry for them. But the thing about Built is they're actually tasty. They're not just like granola bars or protein bars that just kind of taste like cardboard. They have this chewy interior that's very similar to Rolos. It's kind of feels like caramel and something of that nature, chewy on the inside, just like a candy bar. And the thing about it is they taste really good because they're covered in 100% real chocolate. So if you looked at it, you would just think that's just a chocolate bar, like a Milky Way type. And they come in unbelievable flavors like peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, and churro. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros, and what's even better is that they're healthy. They only contain 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to only be, you don't only have to get them from Built.com. You can go to your local Sam's Club or Walmart to get them. At Walmart, you can get a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. And if you're close to Sam's Club, you can run in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. All right. Let's talk about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who led the way in this game. And again, I really like what Paul George has been saying in the post game the last couple of days. He said it after this game, and he said it best. It starts with him. It starts with him on both ends of the floor. When he plays well, it makes all the difference. He said it himself. The game's going to be win or loss with my performance. That's the accountability you want to hear from a star. And you know what? We acquiesced to his demands of getting Russell Westbrook. So now there's no excuse for Paul George. If we had lost without Russ, he could say, I handled the ball too much and make some excuse. So now I don't want to hear it. And apparently he was struggling with a little bit of an injury coming right off the All-Star break, which is weird. Remember, he was on a minutes restriction against the Kings. I don't know what happened there, but I thought he was really good in this game. He was aggressive. He didn't shoot that many threes, which some people might like, some people might not like. I like when he's being aggressive. Going to the basket. He was 2-for-6 from 3, which isn't great. 8-for-19 overall, so his field goal percentage was under 50, but that doesn't tell you the performance that he had because his defense was just so sharp. 23 points, only 2 rebounds for Paul in this one, 4 assists, 4 turnovers, so 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, only 1 steal, but again, he was really solid for me. And 10 points in the third quarter, and that really helped the Clippers boost that lead. And they obviously scored 34 points in the third, outscored the Raptors by 9, and we've struggled with third quarters. I mean, against Memphis, we were absolutely dreadful in the third quarter. Against Sacramento, we were pretty good, if I'm not mistaken. But 23 points on 8-for-19 shooting, we'll take it from Paul George. Those 10 points in the third quarter were big, and he made the game-sealing play with that lobby through to Zoo. Kawhi Leonard, for me, the player of the game. The only thing that concerns me is 40 minutes played. I want him playing a little bit less, which obviously bodes the question, should we have Roko play a little bit or even Bones Highland? But I'm not going to waste my time talking too much about rotations tonight. Kawhi Leonard, 24 points, 12 rebounds. That's the standout stat. He had the most rebounds of anyone on our team. He was fantastic getting the loose balls. He also had 3 steals. As I said, his rotations. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is rivaling Chris Paul right now as the best hands I've seen on the Clippers. Now, Robert Covington, he has some amazing hands too. And Eric Gordon on the low has some good ones. But Chris Paul, I've always said, has the best hands I've seen on a Clipper team. But Kawhi Leonard, I mean, his hands are bigger, but Chris's hands were quicker. But Kawhi's right up there. And his rotations, every time there's a loose ball on the floor, I think Kawhi's going to grab it, and he seems to. And the way he's able to get to those loose balls with his big hands and just his strength and anticipation is quite amazing to watch. He was super efficient in this game. 24 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. Yes, he did turn the ball over 4 times, and you want to see him take care of the ball better. 3 steals, but 8-for-15 from the field and 7-for-9 from the foul line. You obviously want him to hit one more of those because 2 misses out of 9 attempts is not great for him. But 8-for-15 from the field, extremely efficient. He only shot 1 3. It was in the first half from the corner, and he knocked it down. Kawhi Leonard, again, a really good performance against his former team. He seems to really play well against those guys. The Clippers move on to 35-33 with a 108-100 win against the Raptors. They sweep the season series against Toronto. They're now 17-15 at home and 6th in the Western Conference, with the next game against a really hot Knicks team, but they did lose to the Charlotte Hornets in their last game. So we will see. They always bring a good amount of fans, so be prepared. I'm not going to be able to attend that game. It's going to be my first game since we got Russ that I'm going to miss. So make sure to make noise, make sure to be loud, and support the guys if you're there. But big win. Again, comment on today's pinned question. What was your favorite thing about the defense in this game? Now, we went away from Marcus Morris, and it was great in the second half. We saw a little bit more of that, you know, against Phoenix before the All-Star break. You saw him go away from Russ and stay with Terrence Mann and Eric Gordon. And you know what? Tonight it worked, and Russ had a good attitude about it. So we'll see. Ty Lue, I mean, the ball's in his court. He doesn't have an easy job. I acknowledge that, but it's looking a little bit better. And look, even though Marcus Morris shouldn't be starting in my eyes, and I think the Clippers are holding their team back by playing him so much, the defensive effort in this game by the players shows that even with Marcus Morris, they still can be a much better team than they've been. They've blown like 5-7 games with just the rotation thing, but they've also blown a couple extras with their lack of effort. So there's no one person to blame. Everybody is to blame for what's been a disappointing season for the Clippers thus far. However, I always say there's a phrase I like to use, and it's, you're only as good as the last game you played. And right now the Clippers are 2-0 in the last 2 games they played, looking to make it 3-0 on Saturday at 1 o'clock locals time here in LA against the Knicks. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod. Subscribe to my own YouTube channel, Dime Dropper. A video of the game will be up solid atmosphere in this one. And thanks for making Locked On Clippers your first listen today. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. The age-old proverb continues, go Clippers! Two in a row!